induced by pride and false prestige, they create some principles of religion which are not approved by the Vedic injunctions. Although such demonic people are most vulnerable in the world, by artificial means the world creates a false honor for them. Although they are guiding towards them, they consider transparent. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Vishnaya Bhutale, Shimate Bhaktivedya Swami Dhinamine, Namaste Sarasvate, Devi Gorma Tanaka Charine, Shisha Shunya Bhakti Pastachari Shudhani, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Kavu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadada, Shri Vasadevi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this is the first 16th chapter, the divine and demonic nature. So, we are one-third of the chapter, the first, to be precise. How many verses? 24. So, here it says that the religious people are demonic people, and sometimes also, of course, people are a mixture, and it's not always black and white. So, what is the tendency of such people to gratify their material desires and also to concoct their own philosophy to back up? So, actually, when Srila Prabhupada says in the purport here, so they create their own religion or philosophy. So, this in by and in itself must mean already that it cannot be a very good idea. Why? Because Bhagavan Sakshat Panita, what is that verse? Sakshat to Bhagavan Panita. In the Bhagavatam, there is a verse that explains that religion is given by God. So he is the only person to give a solution for the conditioned soul to get out of what of his entanglement. So it's possible to, Srila Prabhupada many times says, to get cured, right? To get cured from... from the misconceptions of the material disease or the bhava roga. So, if we follow the bona fide process very quickly, Archirena can reach Krishna again. It's not very far, in a way. One can become Krishna conscious in a moment, or not even after many lifetimes. This is end of second chapter. But Katvanga Maharaj, he had received blessings from demigods. And so when he was asked, ask me for a blessing, what would you ask? So he would ask, listen, tell me how much I have to go before the change of body. How much more time in this world? Actually, one moment is 46 minutes. Maybe that's what it's meant. It's a moment, 46 minutes. Goodness. Okay. And what did he do? He fixed his mind on Krishna and he attained perfection. So, if we are as determined, so another example, Maharaj Parikshit, 7 days. He had 7-day notice. So he also became very serious, right? What did he do? Upon hearing that he was going to die in 7 days, being bitten by a snake bird, I'm cursing you. So what was his? He started to hear, right? Hear Krishna Katha, Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam was told, why? Shukadeva Goswami. So, and then he got ready. He also, in a glorious way, did the end exam. So in life you get many exams, right? Just like somebody steps on your toes. It's a little exam. Because now as Vaishnavas, we are not supposed to punch the person in the nose. But is it easy to do when you are in pain? No. The first reaction would be to throw off. One time Srila Prabhupada did do that, do you know?
This is a nice story.
No, it's almost done.
So, the devotees at Premadamani time, after Radha Madhava, Srila Prabhupada gives him class, they bow down to know Vishnu Prabhupada.
Yes?
And then, or they say their Pranamata, maybe Monica. So, Srila Tathirtika, the secretary, was in the front. So, everybody bowing down.
Yes?
And he was quick with his Pranamata, and he got back before the one behind him, and he sat on his head. So, it was not Srila Prabhupada, sorry. But his devotee, upon getting some rear end on his head, obviously the devotee is pure, but, so he threw him front and he landed on Srila Prabhupada's lap, who was sitting on the grass, and this is it. And Srila Prabhupada, he just said, "What's the difficulty?" In this way he entitled his book, "Remember Us This Memories of Srila Prabhupada." What's the difficulty? Remember his first encounter, I believe it was the kind of first intimate exchange with Srila Prabhupada. So that devotee, although, okay, he's a devotee in training, but he didn't appreciate somebody sitting on his head, and he threw him far away. No matter that he then landed on Srila Prabhupada, he was maybe frightened. So that's a little example when we are provoked. So I remember Swamiji Swami, he used to say, "What is a sign of greatness? How can you tell somebody is a great devotee?" Well, it's by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. When all is fine in life, we are very good devotees, right? Isn't it? Generally, that's the rule. At least we manage to look good devotees. So then, what to do when we are... Well, sometimes it comes to the test. Sometimes we are being tested. And then, that's a little examination. I want to speak of final examination. Sometimes there's a final examination. Once a lifetime, there's a final examination. Or, generally, we have two final examinations. Right? It seems to be the end exam. And they said, "Okay, you can study a little more." So, like, we don't know when there will be final examination. It's not in the month of June for us. So, actually, at the college, they know. Month of June, end of the year. So here, we have some instructions, some explanations. Always want to unclean hands. So, I remember from other classes, yeah, another Maharshi mentions, for instance, that like being clean, or the opposite would be, but the demons of it being unclean, sworn to unclean habits. So it also means clean in our dealings. So if we would also bear that in mind, because generally devotees take showers and brush their teeth, right? Generally they don't smell, generally speaking, after the test killed them. So, and then, the internal cleanliness or cleanliness in our relationships, that's also so valuable because we may not hurt others in our dealings then, and in other words not suffer the consequences of hurting Krishna's devotees who we happen to live with or we happen to associate with as often as possible. So if we can bear in mind also the importance of cleanliness in relationships, like simple in our dealings. When I say something, that's what I mean. You don't need to look for something behind it, because I'm really not like that. I became sworn to the quality of simplicity, which is not an easy thing in the West, because we're not habituated to doing such a thing. Why? Because we are all going through life like this. We have our guard up. But of course, I'm not advocating to be naive, right? But we want to become a reasonable person. But with a reasonable openness to what, so vulnerable it's called. I mean, we should, with devotees, at least, very important in our dealings with devotees, it's very important to assume goodwill. This is one of the golden rules for ego conversation. You can't see the face expression, right? So if somebody writes something and you take it as evil, so then there's going to be so many conflicts. So the rule is you assume goodwill. So if something is not clear, what do you do? "I am not sure if I'm getting you right, or I'm not sure what you mean with. So the other person can think, oh my god, maybe he or she took it wrong. Maybe rather throw him up or go to see him before I have a conflict. Okay, this is cleanliness in our dealings. But compassion is all about relationships. If we could just, if we could become experts, relationship makers. If we could become expert in maintaining our relationships clean, so then actually we will be very close to the divine nature. So because we are dependent, we are interdependent, mutually interdependent in a family. When you read experts writing about family life, they say this is the goal of family life. So I'm speaking now about the Vasudeva Kutumbaka, Scotland, as I mentioned many times, about the big family. And so how can we come to that point that in the big family we are all brothers and sisters? We really consider each other like brothers. That means, oh, my brother, he has right now, he's going through something. So he's a bit under pressure. So he's a little short-tempered now, or something, whatever. The circumstances, they vary. The most they act. It's not that they don't act on devotees. So then, yes, so we give him so much credit. Yes, wonderful, alright. He doesn't have his pain, whatever mode it is that is right now on him. So you assume goodwill, even then, you don't take it personally. Such an expertise is required to become a good devotee, to become an intermediate devotee when you are a little bit becoming recognized by Krishna. Why does Krishna take the neophyte devotees not yet so to his heart? Because they hurt his other devotees. So that is painful for Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada said we should not remain on the neophyte level, we should come to the intermediate level of devotional service. So that, and one of the symptoms is such devotees are very expert in their dealings with devotees. Because the three other things a Madhyamalikara is supposed to do are not so difficult to do. We do it. We give our love to Krishna. He is not speaking to us right now, so we don't feel pain from him. And we avoid those who give us pain, envious people, avoiding them. No problem. Yes? Yeah? And being a little bit merciful to helpless people. People who struggle giving up bad habits, or people, yes, or children. We are naturally inclined to be merciful to them. It's not so difficult to have a big heart for them, but to have a big heart for our peers, who sometimes press our buttons. But that's a little bit more difficult. But when we can try, that means we are like getting there, what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to become. It's very necessary to associate with the devotees to make spiritual advancement. Associate with the devotees in the way Srila Prabhupada wanted, by serving them. Serving by exchange, loving exchange. It's just like right now, what loving exchange is going on here? Rupa Goswami. Revealing my deep confidence. Not really. Revealing whatever little realizations, any quiet confidentially. Questions are welcome in class. So that's a lot of exchange. But we cannot also do one-on-one. And we can also sometimes save some maha for somebody offering. And it will make all the difference in that person's day. How can you afford it? Just like Pujari gave Master Yivarat, how happy for you. So immediately, Lord thinking of me, and devotees thinking of me, I feel welcomed, and I feel at home. So it's so much etiquette, right? Like Lord Chaitanya, when he was in Jagannathpur, devotees were coming for pilgrimage. He used to personally apply sandalwood pulp on the forehead of each and every of these devotees, and there were like hundreds of devotees, thousands of devotees. I heard 3,000 or so. And then also giving them a garden. Imagine such an endeavor. He was so considerate. So It's an offense not to greet a devotee, according to the Skanda Puran.
My God.
Okay. I don't want to lose my taste for spiritual life. I want to be happily chanting. I want to be chanted and be happy and not chanted and be miserable. This morning class, you know, Prabhupada saying, right? That's a benefit. I mean, as opposed to the non-devotees who are more robust, smoking a cigarette, Srila Prabhupada said this morning in video class. So, there's no more robust. And then, we have such an alternative, right? So we have come to Avya, we are practicing. A pro says that is joyfully performed.
Even the process, even you're not perfect.
Yes. Even you're not perfect, already so much happiness. Suffering is stopping. So we can counteract this, whatever remnants of these tendencies are in us by just enthusiastically applying ourselves to the process of devotional service. That will cleanse our heart from all of these qualities. The only thing required is to apply a little enthusiasm, throw in some energy, or some attention. Of course, this attention, this enthusiasm is, remember Kulana Swami reminded us about the definition of enthusiasm. It's not exactly passion. We may confuse the two. What is the difference between passion and enthusiasm? Remember?
Intelligence.
There is intelligence in the picture here. So it's thoughtful. Thoughtfully performed. Right? Just like imagine, I will do the arti very enthusiastically, right? And then the ghee wings, they fly off in Krishna's face. Oh, no, I mean, they should like fix the ghee wings. Pujari Rao is doing it, no, he's speaking, or doing all that. So many things can happen. But this is an extreme example, right? And sometimes something may sweep our attention. I mean, again, the most. But I mean to say, generally, just as an example. Or imagine you're swinging a chamber so hard it flies off. And it lands on the altar, scary, Lord Jagannath, it would be terrible. So, of course, we must apply our intelligence and what else? And add our hearts.
Endeavor?
Yes, enthusiasm is activities or endeavor with intelligence. Increase of consciousness, that's like the most important one. Yeah. So, always reminds us, for instance, like, okay, you can apply this, for instance, to our japa, right? Chanting Hare Krishna. We're doing this ritualistically, right? Isn't it? It's just something which has to be done, just like you have to go to the toilet. No, it's not a ritualistic activity. So, what are we doing? We apply our intelligence and our heart, so we become mindful. When we do this activity, such an understanding stress, you very much have to align yourself in three ways. Very important to align your body by sitting straight. Sit straight and sit still. Move your fingers for the passion. You get rid of the passion by your fingers. Fingering the beans. It's like touching Goraka's and Nityananda's lotus feet. As comparison, you can meditate and touching our Lord Chaitanya's feet and fingering the beans. And you align your mind. What am I doing here? Yes, I'm connecting with my brother, with my lover, with my friend, Krishna. Through his holy name, it's a direct connection, right? There is no secretary in between. So and then also, you know, I have some under, I have some rust, some mellow. I want to serve. But that could be one day, you may be thinking like this, hey, sweetheart, hey, Krishna, I want to serve you today, like that. So that's maybe one meditation. You think of that, the meaning of the mantra? There's so many other suggestions out there, because there's more than one meaning for the mantra. But with some longing, yes? But that makes it not ritualistic, and then also not boring. Because otherwise, yeah? So, I mean, with some understanding, so within, and then that enthusiasm, if you just start with that, by applying your enthusiasm to chanting Hare Krishna, which everybody could do, basically speaking, right? Young or old, why not rich or poor? I mean, everybody could give his heart while chanting Hare Krishna. How do we agree? We are blessed with this presence. Yes. So then, from that, everything else will come. You will get up from your japa, flying. That's actually, isn't it? You want to then, now I want to give you a flower, Krishna, or whatever. I can give you more flowers, millions of flowers, every day. Like that. So you get so many ideas of how to please this wonderful person you just connected with. So it becomes the life. But then, when you do all this service, so then you become more inspired to chant His holy name. You want to be with your Lord. You can sit just for hours just being with Krishna. You hear the holy name, Hare Krishna. And we hope to come to that point. And we don't care someday about breakfast, but just a little fruit. So the Bhakti Vishama Mahaprabhu has to shut up the mind. So sometimes we are really motivated by that. So the method to prevent it by giving sockets. And then all these demoniac qualities, which may be a residue of in our hearts, and then we'll go away. So not concocting our own religion, but just studying the Bhagavad Gita, which gives a very simple outline of what we could do in life. Isn't it that we agree that the Bhagavad Gita is a kind of book for happiness seekers, and it gives indeed tangible solutions? Or yes, we have some experience after 20 years, man. Actually, yes, isn't it? Just you're in trouble, and you take shelter of the Bhagavad Gita, and you think, hey, it's getting better. Like that? Comfort? Totally. And it's now translated into our modern tongue, so we can really be close with Krishna. He's speaking to us. And Srila Prabhupada this morning also said, not only for sale, he said, for reading, right? And he said, and yasya prasada, by this the guru, you will get to Krishna, but you don't understand it. He said like that. He spoke out like that. You're not getting it, you're just doing what you want. She did not get it. For a talk. Beautiful. So, but conversely, when we become eager to take these words of our beloved Srila Prabhupada to heart, and we start to search out what we want, what he wants, and not what we want. We know what we want. I want to gratify my senses, just like all these descriptions. That's what I want. But just the leap of faith. Well, I'll gratify Krishna's senses. Let's see what happens. Yeah? Not premeditated. Now he has to make me happy. Srila Prabhupada said that this morning. And if he doesn't, we surrender. What kind of surrender? You're not surrendered to yourself. Because when he doesn't please you, you quit. So, can we meditate? Do we realize? It's a serious thing if we take advantage of it. So we can, he said, then you will reach that highest happiness. Otherwise you get some less happiness. He said, I vividly remember. So, then you get some less happiness. So, you had two winning lots. So which one do you want? Do you want the 40 billion? Or do you want the 5 euro one? Oh, let me take the 5 euro one. Intelligent, huh? So, but that's more of what he said this morning. So, yeah. So, not to say that money makes happy, but you get my point. So, bhakti is available in the market of a sincere seeker. And what is that sincere seeker? He seeks out what exactly the spiritual master wants. And then, that's what's going to please Krishna. And he said, and if you directly want to please Krishna, you are my father. So, that's heavy. We know it's very bad. Whatever my father may be, we know it's something very bad. So yes, Srila Prabhupada said this morning. Okay? So these were a few 2 cents and we have some time for questions. So I repeat what I said. So there are millions of material desires that is based on stemming from insatiable loves, kama, nation, coalition. It's burning like fire and it's devouring us like an agasura, swallowing us, no? These burning desires. And they're not stopping for a moment, right? And they burn like fire. And the more you feed them, the more they burn. And you're getting scorched. Yeah, all these problems, false prestige. Yes, it's a material desire to maintain our prestige. So it will all go away, but intensity, jaina bhakti, in the right way. So thank you for listening. And are there any questions or comments? Maybe somebody can add something or some question. Your realizations, please. Who we are as Akhyati Prichati, so you can also share.
Yes, I was thinking that you spoke about the material relationships before, and I was wondering, but because how do you about flattery?
Flattery.
Flattery, yeah. That to me self is nasty.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
It's certainly.
It is. Because it involves
dishonesty.
Dishonesty, yeah. There is something there which is not true.
Crookedness, diplomacy.
Yeah. Looking
with Nazi.
Yeah, and it's.
So you see?
It's the opposite of honest appreciation. You can see it's so different. So it's pure, honest. But still you can see the devotees, and still you can see the devotees who are senior to you. So doing that to you. And you cannot correct the person. You can see the person is taking advantage of that, and you don't know how to deal with that, especially if the person continues on doing that, taking advantage, selfish. And you can see it's not nice, really. So I think we should listen to
like, you don't like that somebody flatters you, but you see something.
You can tolerate. You can tolerate.
You try to tolerate
one time,
and
two times,
what to do,
but after years, tolerate it. So, I don't know, I think it's quite annoying, and I don't like it at all.
So sometimes you think that they praise you or subdue you, they don't really mean what they say.
You can see it's not, it's very good.
So you think they have a hidden agenda
and
they do some praise?
And they want to manipulate you. As opposite to a person who is honest, and you can see who is pure-hearted person and is appreciated sincerely, you can see how it's such a difference of energy, of feeling, of relationship, you know.
So there's a word of caution about
because there are some senior devotees, I'm thinking about one in particular, that is doing this repeatedly and on a basis, or think himself very clever or something like this. I'm doing this now. And it's not just one, actually. So, I don't know, maybe it could come in.
Oh, we assume goodwill. Maybe
no,
it's
because... Of course, we assume goodwill, we're not really...
Because after it's devoted.
Because you may see some goodwill, somebody is in front of you stealing or doing something wrong, doesn't mean you don't see that well, especially if it's just repeated.
But why don't you mention to him directly? You say, like,
because
in the form of a question, many times you can address issues to see the devotees. It's important that we learn to.
I think it's generalized many times.
But you can sometimes take some time to talk to somebody if you feel it's a repeated thing or something. Yeah. Yes, it's a whole art.
As you said at the beginning, is a strong point of falsity and crookedness and lack of this beautiful truthfulness that we're supposed to reach Krishna, which is absolute truthfulness. So,
that's
not how you can describe
okay, the word of caution. Okay, glorifying devotees is good, but especially when they are not there. Usually when they are not there, we criticize them, right? But now if you turn that around and you glorify devotees in their absence, so then you cannot have a hidden agenda, or it could still be better. But it's more, less obvious. But if somebody is there and right in front of others, especially if you glorify him, the person can be very suspicious. Mm. Maybe.
No, because it's, as I said, it's a difference, you know, between us, appreciation and this crooked falsity of this positive. You know. That you are like doing this you are saying this, you know, but you can actually see that it's not really nice.
Okay, maybe we shall discuss more in private, but we must be careful to undoing glorify. And also when you pray somebody, be very specific, and then it's hard for the person to see any insincerity. If I say, you did the art very elegantly, so then what can you say, what can you think of?
Something
very specific. That's very nice. That's very nice. When you, as a receiver, you think, oh, he wants to encourage me. He's Christian.
No, but what I'm saying is, it's not a question of misinterpreting here. It's not a question of you thinking bad about the person. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not true. You know, as you can, see deliberately. It's actually, you can feel pity for the person. And this is how I feel. I feel pity for the person because he's so. He's doing that so wrongly and so obviously everyone can see it's wrong.
I think it's
universally condemned, this flattery, no? It's universally condemned. Everyone hates it, dislikes it, and it's like low class.
But the question is
continuing doing that, so it's like really is repulsive.
So you don't say it's repulsive.
This is my point, it should be pleased against. You should be pleased again.
Oh, but you can just say, it seems like it's a little bit
I
was thinking Prabhupada wants his disciples and his followers to be straightforward and non-duplicitous and honest in their dealings. So like Prabhu mentioned in his lectures, also to be clean and simple in his dealings. I think it's always possible to address to devotees that what you're doing, I'm not comfortable with. Can you please stop it?
Yeah, you're comfortable. That's easy for you to do.
It's
a good point because you don't have to run to a psychiatrist when you say, Bhagavad Gita is on that. We told you about that. You know, when you're angry, you should become angry, and then you don't become diseased. But I would take careful. But there's a difference. It's not a correction. Okay, as a general rule, whenever somebody does something unacceptable that you really don't like and you feel like taking a hammer or something, so then, here is his advice. I learned that only recently. So you can inform the person. You are raising your voice, but you speak calm. It's very important. You are raising your voice right now. And then if you don't get it, you repeat that. You say, on your request, please don't raise your voice. You can just request very politely, whether he's senior or junior, that doesn't. You can request politely, no problem. Because you shouldn't tolerate that somebody shouts at you. But you just stay calm. You can even tell your superior. You can tell your guru. No problem. If you're calm and respectful, your employer, he will not fire you. You will command respect by not allowing him to disrespect you. But if it doesn't stop, the last step is you keep shouting at me. I'm leaving the room. And if you are like very close with someone, then make a joke of it and you say, when are you planning to stop being angry at me or stop shouting at me so I will come back at that time? And then you make a joke of it. But it's very powerful. You stay calm. So you don't push his buttons, although he pushed yours. So that's not so easy. So first practice with your friends, and then use this as a lifeline advice.